We're holding on your Gimel Amud Beis by the two dots, a little bit above the middle of the Amud. Continuing in the Mishnah on the things that require a certain number of Dayonim, the Mishnah had said, Smichas Zekenim, when the Zekenim do Smicha. Now, we're going to talk about in the Gemara that really the word smicha over here has two meanings. It can mean leaning the hands on like they do on a korban, and it can also mean smicha as in giving smicha to chachamim, that they now have the title of Rebbe, they're now able to judge dinei knosos and so forth. So first, for the first meaning of it, Tana Rabbanan, we learn in a braisa, so we're now the Mishnah had said that you need three chachamim. Well, we had two opinions in the Mishnah. How many you need for smicha skenim to lean their hands on the korban? And we're talking about when we say the korban over here, we mean the par helam davar shel tzibur. When the Sanhedrin makes a mistake in halacha, and most of the people find in certain areas of halacha, and most of the people follow them, as we'll learn Be'ez Hashem at the end of this year, we'll be learning in detail in Masechta Hodiyos all about that. So now, so they bring a korban on behalf of the whole tzibur, and the Sanhedrin, the Ziknei Ha'eda, as the Gemara is going to quote the pasuk over here, lean their hands on the head of the animal. So we're saying that you need at least three of them to at least you need according to Rabbi Yehuda, you need according to Rabbi Shimon, you need three of them to do that, and according to Rabbi Yehuda, five. So Tana Rabbanan, when the pasuk says v'samchu ziknei, when it says the ziknei should rest their hands, yochol ziknei ashuk. So you would think that means just any old zakenim. Zakenim, after all, can mean old people. So it can mean any old pe any random old people from the any random old people. No, Talmud Lama Eda. Therefore, the pasuk continues Eda, where Eda means the Sanhedrin. Like we had in the Mishnah, that you had an Eda Shefetes, the Eda Matzelos, a group of 10. We said 10, the minimum of 10 is an Eda, and that meant 10 Dayonim. So we know that Eda means Dayonim, means members of the Sanhedrin. E Eda Yochok Tane Eda, still maybe it can mean even the lesser members of the Sanhedrin. No, Talmud Lama Ha Eda. Therefore it says the Eda, Miuchodin Shev Eda, the unique ones among the Eda, meaning the Sanhedrin Gdola. So it's not just enough that you're going to take members, three or five members from any random Sanhedrin of 23, and have them be the ones leaning their hands on the animal as the representatives of the Jewish people. It has to be members of the Sanhedrin Gdola. The kama. Now, how many do you need? Well, the samchu shnayim. So the samchu shnayim ziknei shnayim. The pasuk says they should rest their hands, which is a plural, which means a minimum of two, and it says ziknei the elders, which is also a minimum of two. So far that gives you four. The ein beis din shokel, and as we've been having throughout the parak, a beis din cannot be an even number because they might be tied. Therefore, you add one more. Harei kan chamisha. Therefore, you have five. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. That's what Rabbi Yehuda says. Now, on the face of it, you could ask, as the question is, with a few of the things in our Mishnah, where is Mela when you're having when they're sitting and judging? You could have a deadlock between them, and therefore you need an odd number in order to break the tie. But here, when they're resting their hands on a korban, what do we need that for? So one point is that one point is the Yad Ramah says, what about, for example, there might be a mum in the animal, and then they're going to argue among themselves whether it's a mum kavua, whether it's a permanent mum or a temporary mum. So you need an odd number. Anyway, so Rabbi Yehuda says that's where you get five. Reb Shimon says no, just ziknei shnayim. Don't darshin from the word v'samchu. Just the word ziknei, the elders, means two. Ve'ein beis din shokel, and a beis din can't be an even number. Ma'asifin alayin oidechad. So you need to add another one. Harei kan shloisha, so you have three. So according to Reb Shimon, you're not darshining from the word. You're not darshining anything from the word v'samchu. Well, the question is, Reb Shimon haksiv v'samchu. Well, what is Reb Shimon doing with that word? And the answer is, homi boiler the gufe. He needs that for the goof of it, just to tell us, in other words, exactly that there needs to be smicha. So we don't have it available also for a drasha. So you can't use it to add a fifth to add two more. Virab Yehuda, what does Rabbi Yehuda answer to that? He says, Lagufa letzorich. You don't need the word v'samchu for Lagufa. You're going to say you need it in order to tell us there needs smicha. De imken de le'osi v'samchu l'drasha. If the word v'samchu was not meant for a drasha, lichtiv zikne ha'eda yideim al rosh ha'por, the pasuk could have just said the elders of the Eda should have their hands on the head of the pyre. Now the point is, in other words, the word ziknei is also needed legufoi, but fine. But the fact that it says loshin rabbe means that two. But on the face of it, on the face of it, Reb Shimon is saying you need the word v'samchu. It has to be in plural because it's together with the word zikne. But it's needed to tell us that there's smicha. But Reb Yehuda is saying you don't need the word at all. You could just say the zikne eda should have their heads, their hands should be on the head of the bull, and we would understand that it means that they're doing smicha. V'Reb Shimon, what does Reb Shimon answer back to that? He says, "Iksiv hochi." If it just said their hands should be on the bull without the word v'samchu, you wouldn't know you need my al b'samuch. Then you would think maybe the word al over here doesn't mean literally on top of. Maybe it just means they need to be near it. Sometimes in Chumash and in the rest of Tanakh, we find sometimes that the word al is used to mean something near something else. For example, v'olav mata menachme. You find by the camp by the encampments of the Jewish people in the Midbar, v'olav mate Menashe, that on Shevet Ephraim with Shevet Menashe doesn't mean on, of course, it means near. So here, if it didn't say v'samchu, you would think it just means their hands have to be near the pyre, not necessarily on it. V'Rabbi Yehuda, what does Rabbi Yehuda answer back to that? He says, Goma Rosh Rosh Ma'ola. He says, I don't, we're going to know it doesn't mean near, we're going to mean, no, it means their hands have to be doing smicha on it, because we would have a Gzeira Shava on the word Rosh from a Korban Ola. whereby an oila it says v'samach yade al roish ha'oila, and here it says al roish ha'por. So therefore, we would learn just like over there, it's smicha the same way over here, smicha. V'Reb Shimon like gama roish roish me'oila. Reb Shimon had not learned that gzeira shava from oila. A person can't make a gzeira shava on his own. He can only use a gzeira shava that was taught to him by his rebbeim. And Reb Shimon had not taught, had not learned this gzeira shava from his rebbeim. Therefore, he can't use rosh for the gzeira shava. Therefore, he needs the word v'samchu to teach us about the very fact that you need smicha. And therefore, according to him, you're left with only two in the pasuk, and then a third one that we add, and then a third one we add in order not to have a tie. So that's that. Tana, we learn in a braisa, smicha u smicha zkenim begimel. When it comes, both smicha that we just said over here, meaning that they rest their hands, they lean their hands on the animal when it's before it's going to be shechted. So we said that Rabbi Yehuda had said that you need five. Rabbi Shimon says you need three. The halacha, by the way, is like Reb Shimon in that you need only, actually the halacha is like Reb Yehuda, you need five for that. Anyway, so Braisa says that you need three for smicha and smicha's skenim. So my smicha or my begimel, both of those are with three. My smicha or my smicha's skenim. What do we mean by smicha's skenim? What's the difference between them? Rabbi Yochanan mismach sovi. So Rabbi Yochanan says smicha's skenim means giving smicha to the chachamim, where now they have the title Rebbe, and now they're able to judge dine knosis. And when dine momenus are in, and when dine nefoshes are in effect, they can judge dine nefoshes as well. All of that that requires them to be smuchim. Namely, we learned at the beginning of the Perek, at the beginning of the Masechta, we said you have a, when it comes to Dayonim, the Pasuk uses the word Elikim. Elikim literally means the powerful ones. So it means the ones who have the smicha, ish mi pi ish, going back to Moshe Rabbeinu. And they're the ones who have smicha who are able to judge Dine Knossos. You also, there's Gemara's on the shelf. Okay. So the Gemara says, "Omalei Abayla Rabbi Yosef Mismach Savi Betlasa Menolon." Where do we know that you need three for smicha of zkenim to give them this title of Rebbe? Is it because we find by Moshe Rabbeinu it says that he rested his hands on Yeshua and appointed him as the next leader of the Jewish people? Well, then it should be enough to have one person, because only Moshe did it. You're going to say, look, Moshe himself counts as the equivalent of the entire Sanhedrin of 71. Well then, well, in that case, then fakert, we should require all 71 members of the Sanhedrin to be there. And the fact is, the Mishnah is saying that you need only three. Or the Braisa is saying you need only three. Okay, so the Gemara says kasha. You're right, it's a kasha, how we would learn that from the pasuk. With that said, though, because of that, a kasha is not a tuvta. It means we haven't shlugged it up. The Rambam actually paskins, you do need three. However, only one of them needs to have smicha, as we find by Moshe with Yoshua. The Gemara is going to mention soon, in connection with Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava, that when we say that Pliny gave Pliny smicha, it doesn't always mean that it was only him. There may have been others present as well, but we're not counting them because they're of a lesser caliber. So ultimately, you need three over here, but you only need one of high caliber, namely who has smicha and is able to give it to others. Okay. The question samchin lay, do they literally lay their hands on the person who's receiving smicha? You have to realize, by the way, smicha could be given only in Eretz Yisrael, as we're going to discuss as we go through the story over here. Rav Acha Brei de Rava and Rav Ashi lived in Eretz Yisrael, and in their times, they may not even have even been giving smicha anymore because they were at the end of the period of the Amoraim in Bavel. So they need to know, how does smicha actually work? So does it actually involve a physical laying of hands? Rav Ashi says no. Samchin le'bishma, it just means they give him smicha with the name. Namely, Kori Le Rebbe, that they give the person the title Rebbe, Vyavi Le Rosh Hashanah Dine Knossos, and they give him permission to judge Dine Knossos. Because when it comes, again, like we said, when it comes to Dine Knossos, then the Pasuk says Elikim. So now, at the beginning of the Perek, we talked about that in principle you should require Elikim, in principle you should require Smuchim for all cases, including even regular Dine Mamonis, person lends somebody else money or whatever. However, then you have the problem of Mishum Shalai Tino Delos Bifne Loivin. We don't want the door to be closed and locked against people who want to borrow money. Namely, a person's going to say, well, why should I bother lending you money if we need it based in Smuchim? And such Bati Dinim are not always available nowadays. They're not available at all. So therefore, I don't want to bother. So therefore, by certain cases of dinim mominus, therefore, so we the, then the chachamim have the ability to judge, even with the chachamim of old generations have the ability to judge even when they don't have even when they don't have when they don't have the smicha ish mipi ish. But when it comes to dinik knossos, which is something unusual, Rashi points out it's unusual and there's no chisorin kis. After all, for example, what's an example of a knas is tashlumei kefil. So the fact that he has to pay back the keren, that he has to pay the amount he stole, sure, that's a chisorin kis, and that's something that bati dinim outside Eretz Yisrael can judge, but not the kefil where the victim didn't lose anything. That's basically a bonus that he would have been getting. So for that, we can't say that we the bati dinim without smicha are acting on behalf of the ones who do, and therefore we can't do that unless we ourselves have the smicha ish mipiish, which we do not. But in other words, the point is the smicha does not actually require a physical laying of hands. An interesting point, in fact, as Mefarshim point out, it doesn't even necessarily require them to be physically present in the same location. It could actually be that it could actually it, for example, they could actually do a smicha by letter. Now, famously, about 500 years ago, about 500 years ago, Rabbi Yaakov Beir Rav, a Rebbe of the Beis Yosef, one of the great Chachamim of his times, tried to reestablish smicha. It became a whole huge controversy. Some Chachamim accepted it, some did not. That smicha persisted for a couple of generations. The Beis Yosef himself got it. The Reb Chaim Vital got it. I think the Arizal got it. A few others of that generation, but it never took off for a variety of reasons. A bunch of Rabbanim of that time were against it on various grounds, but in any case, early in the thing, the Rabbi Yaakov sent a smicha by letter to the Ralbach, Rabbi Levi ben Chaviv, who was the Rav of Yerushalayim at the time, and it would have been a valid smicha. The Ralbach actually did not accept it. He was one of the leading voices against this whole idea of reestablishing smicha for a variety of reasons. They wrote whole letters and a whole kuntresim on the subject that had been printed, but in any case, the point is, he was trying to send him a smicha by letter, and it would have worked. So the Gemara says, "V'chad lo yisamich." You're telling me that one person alone cannot give smicha. V'ha'omer of Yehuda Amar Rav, bram in truth. The word bram literally means but or however. But sometimes we find that it means in truth. In last week's parasha, Rashi mentioned on Avol Hashem Manachnu that in Loshen Dreimah, which means either Roman language Latin or it means language of the south of Eretz Yisrael, whatever. The word bram means in truth. So in truth, Zocher Oysah Ish LaTov, the following person should be remembered for good, Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava Shmai, namely Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava, Sheol Molei Hu, if it weren't for him, Nishtachu Dinev Knossos Yisrael. Dinev Knossos would have been forgotten from among the Jewish people. What do you mean, Nishtachu? Nigrasinu. All we have to do is learn them again. Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava, what he was accomplishing over here, as we're going to go on to tell the story, didn't prevent Dinev Knossos from being forgotten. Ella Botlu Dinev Knossos Yisrael. Rather, what we mean is Dinev Knossos would have ceased to have been judged from the Jewish people because they wouldn't have been in Smicha. Now, nowadays, in fact, we don't have, so eventually it was bottled, but at least he was able to preserve it for a few hundred more years. What happened? The wicked kingdom, which is the Romans, made a gzera on the Jewish people. Anybody who gives smicha will be killed. And anybody who receives smicha will be killed. Even the city in which the smicha takes place will be destroyed. This way, they're gonna outlaw it altogether. And even the tchum, even if it's done outside the city, everything within a tchum of the city is going to be destroyed. So they're absolutely out to abolish smicha altogether. Ben Yoyada points out that, other gzeiros, they figured, you know what, let's say, for example, we're gozer on Shabbos or whatever, fine, people may not keep Shabbos for a while, eventually the gzeiro will be over and they'll go back to keeping Shabbos, but they knew if they can break smicha for one generation, then that's it, smicha is going to cease, because it has to be ish mipiish. So that's why they were taking such strong measures about it. Anyway, so Ma also Yehuda ben Bava. So what did Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava do? Holach v'yoshav leben shnei horim gdolim. He went and sat between two big mountains, so he could hide there. Oben shtei ayoras gdolos, between two big cities, so not in the city, so at least they don't destroy it. Oben shnei tchumei shabbos, and between two tchumei shabbos, because he's outside of the tchum shabbos of the city, so even the Romans are not going to destroy the cities. Marsha says the vote is that it was literally exactly between two cities, in the sense that now when the Romans come, then each city can say it was in the tchum of the other city. So that way, both of them will get away with it. Anyway, he was between the towns of Usha and Shfaram in the north of Eretz Yisrael. He gave smicha there to five skenim. The Elohen, Reb Meir, Reb Yehuda, Reb Shimon, Reb Yosi, Reb Elazar ben Shamua. Reb Ivya Moisef after Reb Nechemya. Reb Ivya adds there was a sixth one, Reb Nechemya. So he gave them all smicha. Now, by the way, we were just talking about that maybe they don't need to be physically present in order to receive smicha, but that might be, in other words, for example, that if you have when the Sanhedrin Gdola, for example, as a body, is saying to give somebody smicha, then fine, they can do it long distance, they can do it by letter or whatever. But here we were talking about that it's a small group. Then maybe in fact they do need to physically be present in order to receive smicha. And he was saying, after all, these five or six chacham were risking their lives also to come there. Kivinchi kiru oivim behen, then the enemies realized what was happening, and they're coming to arrest them and kill them, omalahen. So Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava tells them, Bonai, my sons, rutsu, run away. Omruloi, they said, Rebbe, matahe alacha, Rebbe, what's going to be with you? You're old, you can't physically get away that fast. Omalahan, he says, I'm going to sit over here in front of them like a rock that can't be turned over. In other words, I'm not going to run away. And this way also, while they're busy with me, you'll have time to get away. Marsha says also, the vote is that he's saying, I'll be like a stone. I won't even feel the pain. In fact, it's brought in various Sfarim of Rishonim that people who were killed, people who had the schus to be killed, or Kiddush Hashem, they physically didn't feel the pain. It was a special gift, Min HaShemayim.
Special people
we're talking about. But yeah, for example, one of many examples in Jewish history, for example, there was a blood libel in France in the city of Blois. In northern France, in Rabbeinu Tam's times, actually it was 2 weeks before Rabbeinu Tam was Nifter, Chof Sivan, it's one of the reasons why Chof Sivan used to be a fast day. Anyway, it's brought over there, 30 odd Yidden were killed at Kiddush Hashem over there, and while they were being burnt, they were being burnt at the stake, and while they were being burnt, they were singing, and the Goyim standing around had no idea what it was. Afterwards, they asked around, they found out these people were singing Aleinu. But yeah. Anyway, so he says, I'm going to sit over here like a stone that can't be moved, and I won't even, I'm not even going to react. Omru, they said, Lois Zozum Risham, the enemies, the Romans, didn't move from there. Barzil. Before they'd stuck 300 spears into him, Kvara, and they made him like a sieve full of holes. They probably killed him with hundreds of spears. But the point is, in other words, of the story, we see that Rabbi Huda ben Bava alone is the one who gave the five or six Tamidim smicha. And yet you're telling me that you need three. The answer is Rabbi Huda ben Bava, Achrini Havu Ba'adeh. There were other Chachamim with him as well, because you need three. The Haidele Choshev Lahumishim Kvoy Rabbi Huda ben Bava. We're not mentioning them because of the covet of Rabbi Huda ben Bava. He's the greatest among them. And especially, it fits very nicely with what the Rambam is saying. That with what the Rambam is saying, that you need of the three, only one has to have smicha. Well, very well then, Rabbi Huda ben Bava is the one who has smicha. The other two are not required to have smicha, and they're there only in order to have the group of three in order to give smicha. So therefore, so it works out nicely that he's the greatest among them, and therefore it's called by his name, even though in fact there were two others.
Which were a very high caliber,
The
can we
Malchus, we're
say?
talking about the Roman Empire.
Can we say that they didn't feel the pain when they were being killed, or
Who? The Asar
okay?
Malchus, yeah, that's maybe what we're talking about. Yeah. We see, for example, by Rabbi Shmuel Kohen Gadol, for example, when they were combing off his skin, when they were taking
Clean.
off his skin, he screamed only when they got to the
So,
place of the tefillin. Ha'itochen that the skin of his forehead, with his tefillin, where replaced, should now be taken off by them for their plaything. So the Gemara asked for Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava Samche. Are you telling me Rabbi Meir received smicha from Rabbi Huda ben Bava, va'amar Rabbi Baba Chana, amar Rabbi Yechanan, kola omer, Rabbi Meir lo samcha Rabbi Akiva. Anybody who says that Rabbi Meir did not receive smicha from Rabbi Akiva, ein ela toya, is only making a mistake. So you see, he received smicha from Rabbi Akiva. So what does he need from Rabbi Huda ben Bava? That Befrat also, the Gemara may know. Now we know that both Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava were among the Asar Arugei Malchus. It may be that Rabbi Akiva was killed before Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava in when we in Eila Ezkera and Auzei Alavon, and we taka mention them in that order. So it may be the Gemara knows Rabbi Akiva had already passed away by the time Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava did this. Anyway, the answer is Samche Rabbi Akiva v'lo kiblu. Rabbi Akiva did give Rabbi Meir smicha, but people did not accept it because Rabbi Meir was fairly young. The Samche, Rabbi Huda ben Bava, the Kiblu. Later on, Rabbi Huda ben Bava gave him smicha again, and people accepted that he has smicha.
That must be.
Okay. The Gemara continues. Amar Rabbi Shur ben Levi, ain smicha b'chutz la'aretz. There is no smicha in chutz la'aretz. So the Gemara says, "My ain smicha." Ilemed le'dayne dine knosas klal b'chutz la'aretz. Do you mean that if you have a beis din of smuchim, they cannot judge dine knosas in chutz la'aretz? No. V'hatnan. We learn in a Mishnah in Makkos, Sanhedrin neheges bein ba'aretz, bein b'chutz la'aretz. This bein b'chutz la'aretz. The Sanhedrin functions whether in Eretz Yisrael or in chutz la'aretz. Wherever the Sanhedrin are, if they're traveling to chutz la'aretz, then they're still able to judge all the dine knosas and even dine nefoshes that they're able to anywhere else. Ella deloy samchinon b'chutz la'aretz. Rather, what it means is that you can't give smicha in Eretz Yisrael, outside of Eretz Yisrael. So, and that's part of the reason also when the Romans made that harsh gzeira, they knew, as Ben Yehoyada is saying, not only all they have to do is break it for one generation, but all they have to do is in Eretz Yisrael. They don't even need to make this gzeira in the rest of their empire. They outlawed and have these harsh punishments in Eretz Yisrael, and you have and you have one generation, and then again, once it happens for one generation that can't be restored, then they figured that's it. They're gonna break smicha from the Jewish people, but because of Rabbi Huda ben Bava, they weren't able to.
So did you get to learn also, guys?
Yeah,
Live a little.
you have to realize also. I mean, they had Jewish or semi-Jewish advisors. You had in those years, for example, you had the early Christians, some of whom were Jews, were helping them out. You know, we have the Bruch of Olam HaShinim about them. So yeah, you know,
Troublemakers.
they had their
Jewish
ways of knowing. They
troublemakers.
had their ways of knowing what's going on internally among the Jewish people. By the way, Ben Yehoyada points out, you know, when you think about it, I mean, the five or six Chacham who came also deserve credit. Why are we giving credit to Rabbi Huda ben Bava Davka? And he gives two answers. One of them is they're younger; they can more easily run away. He can't, as in fact he was killed. And the other point is, each of them, if the Romans come, they could say, you know what, we're not one of the ones who received smicha. We only came to watch. Whereas Rabbi Huda ben Bava doesn't have any. Where Rabbi Huda ben Bava and the two other Chacham who are with him don't have that excuse.
Well, to watch probably also they
Yeah,
probably
maybe, but then okay. So the Gemara says, Pshita, now it's posher that Soimchen b'chutz l'aretz v'nismochen b'aretz. Suppose the ones who are going to give smicha are currently in chutz l'aretz, and the ones who are receiving smicha are in Eretz Yisrael. Obviously, it's not going to work. D'hamrin and d'loy, because we said you can't give smicha in chutz l'aretz. So therefore, we definitely, there's no question then that in that case, the ones who are in chutz l'aretz currently are not able to give smicha. If the receiver was here with us in chutz l'aretz, he wouldn't be able to receive smicha, so he can't long distance either. But what about the other way around? Ella soimchin ba'aretz v'nismochin b'chutz l'aretz mai. What about if the ones who are giving smicha are in Eretz Yisrael and the ones receiving smicha are in chutz l'aretz? Would it be good enough? Because after all, if he were with us in Eretz Yisrael, he'd be able to receive smicha. So maybe he can receive it long distance now, even though he's located in chutz l'aretz, or maybe not. Maybe he has to actually be there at least in Eretz Yisrael. So the Gemara says, Toshma, did Rabbi Yochanan have mitzvah? Alei did Rabbi Shimon ba'Abba. Rabbi Yochanan was concerned, was bothered, was troubled about Rabbi Shimon ba'Abba, that he wanted to give him smicha, and he wasn't able to, delay have a gabayu delismichei, because Rabbi Shimon ba'Abba was not there with him, with them. So you see that he has to at least, so you see that he has to be there. So it's true that maybe, at least if they're in Eretz Yisrael, then they're able to do it. They're able to do it long distance by letter or whatever. But at least he has to be there in Eretz Yisrael. Apparently, at this point, Rav Shimon ba'Abba was in Chutz La'aretz, and therefore it doesn't work.
They can't just write and leave it at Yisrael for him when he comes.
They could, I guess, but they wanted to be able to actually give it to him and to actually be able to deliver it to him, and they couldn't. So the Gemara continues. Reb Shimon ben Zirud v'chad ime, Reb Shimon ben Zirud and another chacham with him, Umanu, and the Gemara interjects, who is that? Reb Yechon ben Achmai, that would be Reb Yechon ben Achmai, v'amilo Reb Yechon ben Achmai v'chad ime Umanu Reb Shimon ben Zirud. So we both agree that there were these two chachamim. The question is, which one is the greater one, and which one is the one of secondary importance? One of them who was there with Rabbi Yochanan was able to receive smicha. The other one who was not there was not able to receive smicha. So again, you see that it has to be, they have to at least be able, they have to at least be able to be there. The truth is actually it's not so simple to do by letter. The Yad Ramah discusses it over here, and then whether in fact it would work. So again, like I said before, with Rabbi Yaakov Beirav, when he reestablished smicha, he did. He sent a smicha by letter to the Rabach, and the Rabach refused it and rejected the whole concept of reestablishing smicha nowadays. But whether you could in fact do it by letter is not so certain based on this Gemara over here. Do they actually have to be physically present, or is it enough?
You mentioned quite a few big gentlemen who did receive it.
So I'm saying, the ones who received it, the Beis Yosef and the Arizal and whatever, they accepted it, and they were there in person. They were all living in Tzfas. The Rabach was the Rav of Yerushalayim. He wasn't there present, he wasn't there in Tzfas. A big part of it, there were a lot of different facets of that machlokas. There was the point that the Rambam says that if all the chachamim of Eretz Yisrael gather together, they can reestablish smicha. Rabbi Yaakov held that it's a rubei kekula, it's enough most of the chachamim, and at that time in history, most of the chachamim in Eretz Yisrael were in Tzfas. The Rabach argued, no, all means all, and I didn't agree. And there were a variety of different points that the Rabach brought up. The Radvaz also mentions it in Hilchos Sanhedrin on this piece of Rambam. And the Radvaz says, I was the chief rabbi of Mitzrayim at that time. He was the chief rabbi of Egypt for 40 years, the Radvaz. And he says also, they asked me about it, and I also said, if not, it shouldn't be done. So yeah, I mean, there were great Gedolei Yisrael on both sides of it, yeah. Anyway.
When there isn't, between all, even the great people, when they don't have achas,
yeah,
you can't do things.
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay. The Gemara continues. Rab Chanina v'Rab Hoshia have a komishtikid Rab Yochanan l'misbechinu. Rab Yochanan was trying really hard and eagerly anticipating when he could give smicha to Rab Chanina and Rab Hoshia. Loi have mistaya milsa, but it wasn't working out. So Rashi explains, because since we said you need three, whenever Rab Chanina and Rab Hoshia were by Rab Yochanan, he wasn't able to find two others to join with him for the smicha, because we said you need three for the smicha. We said you can have one that has smicha and the other two who don't, but apparently Rabbi Yochanan, it wasn't working out. He wasn't able to gather whenever Rab Chanina and Rab Hoshia were in town, he wasn't able to find extra people like that. With that said, though, there is an explanation in the Sefer Chamra V'Chaye and an important Pirush on Masechta Sanhedrin from the Knesset Zagdola. He says Rashi may disagree with the Rambam. Rashi may hold all three of them have to have smicha. So in that case, all the more so, Rabbi Yochanan may not have been able to find the other two. Anyway, so whatever it was, there may have been other things. Another point is also in general, even though they could do it with only three, they would prefer to have as many of the Chachamim as possible, and it wasn't working out. Havakom etztar tova, so Rabbi Yechon was feeling really bad about it. Omrulay, so they told him, "No nitztar ma'av, Rebbe, don't feel so bad about it. Da'anan midveis Eli kasidin, we're descended from the family of Eli HaKoyen, and
Back on this.
no, they're going to live because they're osik b'toro over gmilas chasadim. But the Amr of Shmuel bar Nachman, Amr of Yonason, minayin shein yismach in the base Eli. How do we know that people descended from Eli HaKoyen don't have the schus to get smicha?" Because one of the nevuos to Eli HaKoyen, because of the way his sons were acting, is lo yizokin beveis chokol hayomim. There will not be a zokin throughout all the time in your family. So now, my zokin, what do we mean by the word zokin? You let me zokin mamish. Do we mean just plain old? You don't need that anyway. The next pasuk says that all the men of your household are going to die young, as we have in other Gemaras where they have to be osik b'torah over gemilas chasadim. And even then, for example, we said that Rava and Abaya were osik b'torah over gemilas chasadim, and even Abaya lived only to 60, which is not really zokin yet. Zokin is 70. So b'chlal, they're not living to the age of zikna anyhow. So you can't say that zokin means that. Ella smicha. Rather, the word zokin over here means they're never going to receive smicha. So therefore, they're saying it's hashgacha pratis. The Eibishter is taka arranging that that's why things are not working out and we're not able to receive smicha. Marshall actually wonders in that case why we're calling them Rabbi Chanina and Rabbi Oshia, which should mean that they got smicha.
Caliber.
So it means they're of the caliber. But in fact, he says that maybe. Maybe in fact, before smicha, they could also be called rabbi. But what it is after smicha, they would just be called rabbi without even their name. And before that, they could be called rabbi and their name. So they could be called Rabbi Chanina even without, and Rabbi Hoshea even without having received smicha. Had they received smicha, people would just call them rabbi without even their name. But also, he says maybe the correct gyusa should be Rav Chanina and Rav Hoshea. We have the general rule that Rav means they didn't receive smicha, and rabbi means they did. Okay. The Gemara continues, Rab Zera haba mitama lemismichei. Rab Zera was hiding out to not receive smicha. De omer Rab Elazar, l'olam have a kval v'kayim. Rab Elazar says, always be in the dark and you'll live. In other words, stay out of the spotlight and you'll live long. Elsewhere, the Gemara learns this from the fact that you find, for example, that a house that has tzaras, if the house has windows in it, then you're going to be able to see the tzaras spot on the house, and then the house has to be closed up and may even have to be eventually demolished. As opposed to if it's a bais ofel, if it's a dark house that has no windows, then we don't say, well, go carve out windows into the wall to be able to see. No, because and you can't bring in candles or whatever to see either. You have to be able to see it by natural light. So such a house ends up getting spared from tzaras. Even if it has tzaras on the walls, nothing happens to it. So you learn from that when a person is in the dark, when a person stays out of the limelight, then they live long. So now he doesn't want to be in the spotlight to receive smicha. So yeah, given the shama lahad to Amar Rabbi Elazar, but then when he heard what Rabbi Elazar had said, ein adam ola l'gdula, the person does not go up to a position of greatness. Elam ken mochlin may al kol avei noisav, unless he's been forgiven for all of his averus. So there's three things. It says when a person is married, when a person is oila l'gdula, and there's one other one that when a person gets married, when a person is oila l'gdula, and I don't remember now what the third one was, where mochlin lo yakol avei noisev, that Hashem forgives him all his averus. One thing we learned from by Shaul HaMelech, it says Ben Shana Shaul B'Molchoi, literally means Shaul was a year old when he became king. He wasn't, of course. He was a mature adult. It means it was like a 1 year old. He's free of averus. So when he heard that statement of Rabbi Elazar, Am Tzilei HaNafshei, then he made himself available in order to receive smicha.
But the connection between getting smicha and being Michael Avinu.
The point is that now he's going to greatness. Now he's going to a higher level. He's becoming Rabbi Zera, as opposed to until now he was Rav Zera. So in order for that, so that would show. So it could mean which is it? By the way, is it a simin or is it a siba? You have the famous question with a lot of things like that in halacha. Do we say that this is is this the siba? It's the cause because he's going to gdullah, therefore he's being forgiven for his averus, or is it just a simin when he's coming up to gdullah like that? It's a simin that Hashem has forgiven him his averus. So Marashah says that that's what it means. In other words, that Hashem has forgiven him his averus. So it's a siman. He wouldn't be able to. He wouldn't be able to go to that gdullah unless his averus had been forgiven. So therefore, Reb Zeira realized that therefore I should make myself available for smicha. And if it does work out, then it'll be a siman that in fact Hashem has forgiven his averus. Okay. So in fact, he samchur Reb Zeira when they gave Reb Zeira smicha shoru lehochi. They sang in the following song. Now, usually the Gemara in Ksubas mentions we actually just had this in Ein Yaakov right before Hanukkah. This is a song that they would sing to Kalas. So now they sang it in honor of Reb Zeira when he received smicha. Loikchal, there's no eye shadow, or there's no eye shadow, v'loy srak, and there's no rouge to make their cheeks red, v'loy pirkus, or not pirkus, which is braiding the hair or other kinds of beauty treatments like that, v'yala schen, and she's a graceful gazelle. So in other words, by a kala, you say that she doesn't need all those beauty treatments, she's beautiful without them. By Reb Zeira, they were using that metaphorically to say, in other words, that without, even though he's shy and he's holding back from smicha like he's been until now, but nevertheless, he's a graceful, beautiful Talmid Chacham. Why these expressions? Marsha explains, both here and in Subas, it means, in other words, because you have, after all, there are different kinds of hypocrites. You have people who put on a face of being much better people than they are. You have people look at them with their eyes, and they see that they're, and they see with their eyes, they think this guy is a good guy, and it turns out that he's a no good nick or whatever. Hear what they say, and you have people who pretend we're nazirim or other kinds of kedushim when we grow our hair long. Reb Zeira doesn't need any of that. He's a true Talmid Chacham and a tzaddik without any of those chitzoniyistic things. So the Gemara continues. Since we're mentioning a song that was sung in praise of Reb Zeira, so the Gemara brings some other songs that they sang, another song that they sang in honor of some other chacham when they received smicha. When they gave smicha to Rab Ami and Rab Asi. By the way, like Reb Zeira, they were also from Bavel and then they moved to Eretz Yisrael. Reb Zeira also famously moved to Eretz Yisrael, so Rab Ami and Rab Asi also had. Shoru lehu hochi, they sang them the following song. Kol min dein, kol min, this is also in Ksubas over there. Kol min dein smoichalana. Anyone like these, those who are like these, are the ones we should be giving smicha. People of their caliber. Loi sismuchulana, don't give smicha for us. Loi misamitin, not from samitin. Rashi over here explains that it means Moshin smoutut, that it means Moshin rags. So like people don't give a proper reason for what they teach. So it's like a rag that doesn't properly cover a person. So those kinds of people, we don't want them to receive smicha. Voloimin sarmisin, and not from sarmisin, which is Moshin sirus, like mixing around, where they mix up the reasons of the Torah. And they don't give proper reasons, they give like backwards reasons. Va'amrilo, others say, lemi chamisin, don't give smicha to the chamisin, which means Chamsonin, Rashi says, who hold back from teaching Torah to other people, v'loim mitrumisin, and not from trumisin. Rashi says over here, what is trumisin? He says, I don't know. In Ksuba, so Rashi brings from a Gemara, from a Medrash in Bereshis Rabbah, that trumisin means empty people. There's a lot of different explanations about all these phrases over here. What does each of them mean? Rashi explains some of them somewhat differently in Ksubas. The Oruch has other explanations and then whatever. These are various types of people who are not teaching Torah properly, and we're saying we don't want them to receive smicha. But Rab Ami and Rab Asi, we're saying, are not like that. They have all the good qualities that a Talmid Chacham should have. They teach the Torah properly. They teach the Torah. They teach it properly without mixing it up. They cover the topic very thoroughly, and therefore they deserve to have smicha. And the Gemara brings, by the way, another example of a song in honor of one of the Chachamim, Reb Abohu, ki av osim misivta lebei keser, when Reb Abohu would go from the Beis Medrash to the palace of the emperor, where he would go there to talk to them on behalf of the Jewish people, nafki matrun yosa debei keser, the noble women of the keser, of the emperor's palace would come out, and they would sing him the following song. Rabba da'ame, the great one of his people, medabana du'umse, the leader of his nation, butsina d'nehora, the shining light, brich masyach l'shlom, blessed is you coming in peace. Or the Ritva gives a different explanation. It means blessed is the one who helped you come in peace. So they would sing him the song in this honor. In other words, even though they were goyish and noble women, they recognized how great Rabba Bohu is, and they sang the song in his honor. By the way, the Gemara mentions in Ksubas when it tells us instead of Matron Yosa, it says it was Amhosa de Bei Kesar. It was the maid servants of the emperor's household. There's an interesting explanation Reb Levick refers to in one place in his writings. We don't seem to have his actual explanation. Is one of his papers that it's law that was confiscated by the Russians and lost, it seems. But based on the reference, it seems that he mentioned. It seems that he's explaining that Matron Yosa refers to Malchus at a very high level, like an Atsilus. And Amhosa, the noble, the maid servants, refers to Malchus in lower levels in Bia. And the point is that all of them, Malchus at all levels, is coming out to praise Rabbah Bahu for his leader, for his Torah and his leadership of the Jewish people.
What's the second type, Miturbis?
Maturnissa means noble. Miturmisin. So Rashi says, or Rashi over here says loy is Spanish, and in Bereshi, in Ksubas, Rashi brings from Bereshi Sraba that it means empty people.
And you said that there's also another.
There's many other explanations. That was Smartutin. That was the loy mis like wags that don't cover things properly. Right. I'm saying there are a lot of other explanations. The Oruch brings, for example, that turmisin means like a not fully baked cake. So like you have a cake or a loaf of bread or whatever that's not fully baked. So like you have a half baked tamid chacham or whatever. Yeah, there's a lot of different explanations of each of these four expressions here in the Gemara. Okay, onward. The Mishnah had said arifas egla b'shloicha. Another thing where we have a machloikas, how many dayonim we need, is the decapitation of the egla arufa requires three. Says Reb Shimon. Reb Yehuda again says that you need five. Tosfa says we're not actually talking about the killing of the egla arufa. Really, what we're talking about is the measuring to the nearest city. The psukim describe over there. They go and they measure to find the nearest city, and then the nearest city brings the egla arufa, and the chachamim of that and the zikne based in of that city take over, and they're the ones present for the egla arufa. Okay. Turn on, so we learn in a braisa. How do we know three? The yotzuz kenecha v'sheftecha. The pasuk says you zkenim and you sheftim should go out. So again, zekeinecha shnayim, the word zekeinecha in plural means two. Sheftecha is also plural, so shnayim, so another two. So that's four. Ve'ein based in shokel. And again, a based in cannot be an even number. Moisifna, lein oidechon, so you have to add another one. Harekan chamisha, therefore you have five. Divi Rabbi Yehuda. That's what Rabbi Yehuda says. And again, you could ask what din Torah is over here, that we need an odd number. One possibility would be if they argue, for example, in Masechta Sota, the Gemara has a machlokas over there. What part of the body do you measure from? Do you measure from the heart, from the nose, etc.? So therefore, so you can have the chachamim might, these three or five chachamim might be arguing among themselves what part of the body to measure from, and that could make a difference, which is the closest city.
You want to have a ruba again.
You want to have a ruba, that's the point, yeah. That was Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Zekenecha Shnayim. Rabbi Shimon says the word Zekenecha all by itself means two. We don't darshan from the word Veshevtecha, as we're going to go on to say. Ve'en based in Shokol. So again, that gives two. And you can have an even number based in Meisif and Alayin Erechad. So you add a third one, Harekan Shlosha, and there's your three. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Shimon, Hai Sheftecha Mai Ovidle. What is Rabbi Shimon doing with the word Veshevtecha? And the answer is that teaches us you need the special ones among your shoftim. It's not enough again to have zkenim from one of the smaller Sanhedrins of 23. You need from the Sanhedrin Gdola. You need from the Sanhedrin Gdola of 71. So he's learning from the word. So he's saying you need the word sheftecha for that. So you don't have the word sheftecha available to teach you another two. So, Rabbi Yehuda, what does Rabbi Yehuda answer to that? He says, "Mizikne zkenecha nafka." He says, because it could have said, "Zikne shoftecha," the elders among your shoftim. And we would understand that it means the most distinguished among the members of the national Sanhedrin. Since it says "zkenecha," then you can learn that it means another two. Reb Shimon, so what does Reb Shimon do to that? Imizikne, he says, yeah, but if it only had the word zikne, have amin a zikne ashuk, then you would think it could mean any old people. It doesn't have to be old members of the. It doesn't have to mean members of the Sanhedrin at all. Tosfos points out it's one thing zikne ha'ir means the special one of the city, but zikenecha, if it just said zikenecha without sheftecha, if it just said zikne, then it can mean any old people. Therefore, the pasuk says your zakenim means the ones who represent the Jewish people. But if it only said that without the word v'shiftecha, have amina Sanhedrin k'tana, then he would think it's enough for them to be from the Sanhedrin k'tana from 23. Kosev rachmana v'shiftecha. Therefore, Reb Shimon says. Therefore, it says v'shiftecha mimiuchodin shebashiftecha means it has to be among the unique ones, the special ones of your shoftim, namely the ones of the Sanhedrin of 71. V'Reb Yehuda, what does Reb Yehuda answer to that? He says, Gomar zikne zikne. He learns from Gzeira Shova from the word zikne. Because the pasuk says again by the parahelam davashal tzibur, as we talked about before, where it says the skenim have to lean their hands on the animal, and malahalans miuchodin shabeida, and just like over there, it meant members of the Sanhedrin Gdola, which we said because it said zikne ha'eda means not just any old skenim, it means skenim from the eda of that represents the whole Jewish people, which we said meant the Sanhedrin ha'eda. We said miuchodin shabeida. So the same way over here, afkan miuchodin shabizkenecha. So the same way over here, it has to be the special ones among your skenim. So the Gemara says, well, what does Rabbi Yehuda need that for? E Yalef, if anyway he's learning a Gzeder Shava from the Smicha on the Parhelam Dover Shal Tzibur, Leilef Kula Mehosim, then he can learn everything from there. Why does he need the words Zekenecha V'Shevtecha over here to teach us that you have four and then you add another one to make five? If anyway at this point we're saying he's learning a Gzeder Shava from the Parhelam Dover Shal Tzibur, and we learned before on Yud Gimel Amid Beis that Rabbi Yehuda had said that you need five for that because he learned from the word Zikne from the Samchu and Zikne, which meant four, and then you add another one, then the Gzeder Shava alone tells us you need five. What do you need the extra words in the Pasuk over here? So Ella v'sheftecha l'minyana. Rather, what we have to say is Rabbi Yehuda is not learning a Gzeder Shava from there, but rather he's saying that the word v'sheftecha, vav v'sheftecha l'minyana, the vav of the word v'sheftecha comes to teach you that it doesn't just mean the zkenim of, no, it doesn't mean six.
Oh,
it just means, in other words, that, even. No, it means, another, no. No. It means that without the word v'sheftecha, yeah, we would have said zekenecha means two, and it might even mean any old zekenim. Now that it says v'sheftecha, it doesn't just mean the zekenim among the shoftim. The word sheftecha, yes, means the zekenim among the shoftim, not just zikne ashur. But the word v'sheftecha means add another two. And because it's zekenecha, so in other words, it's like this. It could have said zikne alone. That would mean just two chachamim, and it could mean zikne ashuk. When it says zekenecha, means yours kain, it means members of the Sanhedrin. Then when it says v'sheftecha, we're saying sheftecha means your judges, meaning from the national Sanhedrin of 71. V'sheftecha means not just that, but you have to add another two of them. It's not enough to have two and then another one. You have to have four and then another one. So therefore, that's how Rabbi Yehuda is getting his five. Zekenecha means your Zekenim of the Sanhedrin. Sheftecha means from the national Sanhedrin. V'sheftecha means two plus two. V'Reb Shimon, Vav Lo Darish. Reb Shimon does not darshin the extra Vav for that purpose. Tosfos discusses over here, there are places where Reb Shimon, where it seems the other way around, where Reb Yehuda doesn't darshin a Vav and Reb Shimon does, but Tosfos points out there may be different places where one of them darshins a Vav and not the other one, but in this case, Reb Yehuda is darshining the Vav and Reb Shimon is not. Okay, the Gemara asks, Elamayata. Fine, so we're saying, in any case, everybody agrees the word Zekenecha means two. The only machlokas is, are we learning also from V'sheftecha another two? Reb Shimon is saying no, and Reb Yehuda is saying yes. And the reason is, because Zekenecha and Sheftecha are in plural. Elamayata, well, the Pasuk continues over there. V'yotzu, the Pasuk says they should go out. So you should say Shnayim, maybe that means another two Dayanim. V'sumadidu, and they should measure, would mean Shnayim, meaning another two. So the Reb Yehuda, so according to Reb Yehuda, Hare Tisha, then you're going to have be up to nine. Reb Shimon, Shiva, and according to Reb Shimon, you should need seven. Because you would have two more from each of those words. So you'd have two, 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 and two according to Rabbi Yehuda, two from V'yotzu, two from Zekenecha, two from Sheftecha, two from Modadu. The Vav, we're saying, tells us that Sheftecha means another two. So you'd have two, 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 and two is eight, and then another one to make it odd. And according to Reb Shimon, V'yotzu is Zekenecha, V'sheftecha is not darshining for that purpose, Modadu, so you'd have six, and you'd add one, and you'd seven. The answer is no, because Ahumi Boile, those words are not needed to teach us the number of Dayanim, but rather L'chidatanya to teach us what it says in a Braisa. V'yotzu, when it says they should go out, means Hein V'lo Shluchan. Specifically, they themselves, the Skenim of the national Sanhedrin, have to go out and do the measuring. V'lo Shluchan, they can't send Shluchim for that. Umodidu, and when it says they should measure, means Shafilu Nimtza Ba'alil La'ir. Even if they find it very close to the city, it's obvious. Ba'alil means very clear. Like you have in Masechta Rosh Hashanah, Ben Shinir Ba'alil. The moon was very clearly visible and everybody could see it. So even if it's very obvious that the body is very near a particular city, nevertheless, tzorech lasik b'medida, they still have the mitzvah to measure anyway. A point of it is, actually, the Chamer of Achaye says, and the Chizkuni actually earlier on the Pesukim makes the same point, that the measuring itself is going to make a pirsum. It's now going to become more well-known. Hey, there's a big to-do going on over here. Members of the National Sanhedrin are busy doing land surveying over here, and that's going to cause people to come forward. You know what? I have evidence that can lead to finding the actual Ritzeach. The Gemara says, "Masnisin deloiki haitana." Now, so far, what we have is as follows. Again, we have Rabbi Yehuda saying five, and Rabbi Shimon says you need three, but everybody agrees it's only members of the Sanhedrin who are coming. Now, our Mishnah, though, does not go according to the following Tana. D'tanya, Rabbi Lezman Yaakov says there's another meaning of who has to go out when it comes to measuring for the Egla Arufa. The Yotz is Kenecha v'Sheftecha. Rabbi Lezman Yaakov says, Zekenecha zu Sanhedrin. The word Zekenecha means the Sanhedrin. So does that mean that the entire Sanhedrin or not? The Gemara is going to talk about soon. V'sheftecha is a melech v'kohen gadol. And the words v'sheftecha, he says, doesn't mean extra dayanim, and it doesn't mean members of the national Sanhedrin. It means the king and the kohen gadol have to come out and participate in the measuring as well. He's not going to become tamei. Because you're talking about to touch the body. You don't have to touch the body. You can be involved in further along in the measuring.
But even the walking on...
As long as he's not within 4 amas of the mess, it's not a problem. So Rabbi Lezman Yaakov says that they have to be present.
Speaking specifically in Eretz Yisrael, is this connected?
This whole concept of Egla Rufa applies only in Eretz Yisrael. So Tosfos points out, in other words, Rabbi Lezman Yaakov, if the Mishnah had meant that in fact the king and the Kohen Gadol should be there, it should say so. It's one thing when you have, for example, a Mishnah mentions the Sanhedrin of 71, all 71 of them doing something, then it may not have to mention the king and the Kohen Gadol. But here, where it's saying three or five, then it's clear if it meant the king and the Kohen Gadol have to be present as well, then it should have said so. Anyway, so where does he get that? V'sheftecha means the king and the kohen gadol. Melech tichtiv melech b'mishpat yamid aretz. The pasuk says the king upholds the world with judgment. So we see that the king can be called a shofet. Kohen gadol tichtiv uvosel hakohenim halevim ve'la shofet. The pasuk says that you come to the kohenim, the levim, who are members of the Sanhedrin, and to the shofet. And the Gemara's understanding over here that the shofet means the one in charge of the kohenim, namely the kohen gadol. So we see that he holds that both of them are called shoftim. Okay, the Gemara says he boiled the Rabbi Lezman Yaakov b'chodah polig or b'tauti polig. Is Rabbi Lezman Yaakov arguing with the other Chachamim on one point or on 2 points? B'melech v'kohen gadol polig. Is he arguing about the point whether you need the king or the kohen gadol? He says yes. Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon say no. Abba b'Sanhedrin ikur Rabbi Yehuda ikur Rabbi Shimon. But when it comes to the number of members of the Sanhedrin who have to be present, there he holds either according to Rabbi Yehuda that you need five or Rabbi Shimon that you need three. So is it just he's saying you need three or five members of the Sanhedrin plus the king and the Kohen Gadol? Or do the Sanhedrin now polig? Maybe he's arguing regarding the Sanhedrin as well. Makula Sanhedrin ba'inan. Maybe he would hold that you need the entire Sanhedrin of 70, all 71 of them, to be present.
Why would you think so?
Why would you think so? Because he's saying that you need Zekeh, because we're saying that he says you need Zekenecha v'sheftecha. Maybe Zekenecha means all the Chachamim, means all the Chachamim. Maybe it would mean that you need, maybe he would hold, given that we're saying our Mishnah is not like him anyway, that he may well hold that you need all of them. The Sanhedrin of the Lishkas HaGazis? Yeah, the Sanhedrin of the Lishkas HaGazis,
23.
No, the Sanhedrin of the Lishkas HaGazis is 71. And the point is, actually, the Binyan Shloima says the Binyan Shloima says that since Rabbi Lezman Yaakov says the word Zekenecha Zu Sanhedrin, it sounds like he means the entire Sanhedrin. Therefore, the Gemara is asking, does he really mean that, or does he mean no? It's enough to have three or five of them, like Rabbi Yehuda or Rabbi Shimon say. So the Gemara says, Omer Rabbi Yosef Toshma, we'll bring a proof from the following Braisa. Later on in the Masechta, we're going to talk about the details of the din of Zokin Mamre. We know the Torah tells us in Parashat Shoftim, shortly after that pasuk about the Vosei Alakonim Alavim Vela Shofet, the Torah tells us that if a Talmid Chacham argues with the national Sanhedrin, then he's Chayiv Mis. On certain things, then he's Chayiv Mis. We're going to have the details of it later on in Daf Pei Zayin Pei Ches. So now, The Braisa says, Toshma, Motzana base Pagi. Suppose that the person, the Zokin Mamre, met up with Sanhedrin in base Pagi. Base Pagi is an area within the walls of Yerushalayim, so it's considered part of Yerushalayim, even though it's outside of the city proper. In different places, it actually explains that it's an area, it's like an area that was afterwards added on to Yerushalayim. Base Pagi, it actually elsewhere explains, literally means like the harness, like the reins of an animal, which surround its face and its muzzle. So the same way, Beis Pagi is like an area surrounding Yerushalayim, but it's included within the walls. So if he finds them in Beis Pagi, so not in Lushkas Hagozes, v'himra alehen, and he argues on them in Halacha, yochote hamra ose hamra, you would think that would be considered that he's now a zokin mamre and he's chayiv misa. No, Talmud Lomar, the pasuk says v'kam tavaldisa al amokim, the pasuk says you should get up and go to the place where the Sanhedrin is located, and then and listen to whatever they say, which means Malamat Sham Mokum Godim. We learn from that the place where the Sanhedrin is located is what makes the difference. Only if they're sitting in Lushkas Hagozes and he disobeys them, is he considered a Zokin Mamre. Now, when they're in Beis Pagi, even though Beis Pagi is an extended part of Yerushalayim, it's not considered the same place. Tosfos points out, when it comes to Maaser Sheni, for example, the entire Yerushalayim is considered the Mokum. But over here, for the Sanhedrin, Mokum means specifically the Lushkas Hagozes. For example, we're going to learn later on in the Masechta that when that 40 years before the Churban, the Sanhedrin moved out of the Lushkas Hagozes and moved to a place on the Har HaBayis called Chanuyas, and at that point they couldn't judge Dini Nefashis anymore. We're going to learn later in the Masechta why they did that. But anyway, the point is that for the Sanhedrin Gdola, Davka, they have to be in Lushkas Hagozes, no place else. Anyway, so we have to ask Nofuk Kama. Now, how many of the Chachamim left are currently in Beis Pagi that we should be talking about? That this Zokin Mamre meets up with them and argues with them. And by the way, the Zokin Mamre, it's not just that he argues with them. Later on in the Masechta, we're going to talk about all the details. It means not only he argues with the Psak Din, but he goes and teaches other people to follow his own Psak rather than theirs. So yeah. Anyway, so Denofuk Kama. How many of them left? Elam Mktsasan, you're going to say that only a few of them left. What do you mean? Anyway, he wouldn't be a Zokin Mamre. Dilma Hanach de Ika Gavori Kaimikavase. After all, the ones who remain in the Lushkas Hagozes might well agree with him. So if you have 20 members of the Sanhedrin or there in Beis Pagi, of course, if he argues with them, he's not a Zokin Mamre. There are 51 more in Lushkas Hagozes. He might go to them and they'd agree with him. Ela Pshitid Nofuk Kulu. So obviously, and it can't even be the majority of them, it has to be all of them. So it has to be that all of them left. Well, Lamai, now what purpose would they go out for? Ilema l'dvar harashus, would they be going out just because they have to go out for some personal matter of their own? Mi motsu nafki, are they in fact allowed to leave when there isn't a certain number of them left over there? So now Tosfos points out, eventually they don't stay there overnight. They go after the Tom, they leave and go home after Tom and Shom and Abayim. But it's not likely that you're going to find them all in one place. So we're assuming you find them as a body in Beis Pagi means they all went out for some specific purpose. Well, if that specific purpose during their working day is Ledvar HaRashus, then are they allowed to? Mimotsu Nafti, would they be allowed to? Voksiv, the Posik says in Shir HaShirim, Shorerech Agan HaSahar, your navel, this is part of the praise that the man over there in Shir HaShirim, representing Hashem, is giving the woman, the Jewish people, your navel is a gan hasahar, is like a round bowl, al yechser hamozeg, there should not be lacking diluted wine from it. Now, later on in the Masechta, we're going to learn that Shorerech refers to the Sanhedrin, and it's called Shorerech. The Sanhedrin are located in the Beis HaMikdash, which is the middle of the world, and they're like the navel, just like a baby is sustained in the womb by the food that comes into its mother through its navel, through its belly button, the same way the Sanhedrin are the ones who sustain us with Torah. So they're compared to the navel, and they're called round because the Sanhedrin would sit in a half circle, in a half circle shape, so everybody could see each other. And the Pasuk is saying, Al Yechser HaMozeg, there should not be lacking mozeg, diluted wine. So that means that there, and the Gemara later on in the Masechta explains that they can leave only if there are going to be at least 23 of them left. So the maximum that can leave at any one time is 48 for Dvar HaRashus.
Praised with the word navel?
So we're saying the Sanhedrin are compared to the navel the same way as the navel is in the center of the body, the same way the Sanhedrin is located in the center of the world, and the same way as a baby is nourished through its navel, the same way we are nourished through the Sanhedrin who teach us Torah. Only if there's a, only if there's 23 left in the room in the Lishkas HaGazis can other ones leave. How do we learn that from the word al yachzer al mazeg? Tosfos over here and in other places in Shas discusses a couple of possibilities. One of them is because wine is usually diluted in a ratio of two parts water to one part wine. So therefore, if we take the Sanhedrin of 71 divided in three, we have 23 and change. 23, 23, 23 is 69. So therefore, so we can learn from that, there has to be at least one third of the Sanhedrin left, which is 23. Another point Tosfos says is because the word mozeg is gematria 50. So it means 50 of them can't leave. 49 of them could leave. And if 49 of them leave, means you have 22. And in base in shokel, you're going to have to add another one. You'll take one of the Talmidim and temporarily appoint him as the 23rd. And there you're back to 23. So therefore, so one way or the other, we learn from the Pasuk that there always have to be 23 present during the during the working hours of the Sanhedrin, which is from the Talmud Shoshachar until the Talmud Shoben Abayim, there have to always be at least 23 present.
Even though they're not judging?
No. Even though they're not judging. They're still teaching Torah. They're whatever. Yeah, they have to be in session during that time.
I'm still confused about the number. If there is 23 that can be missing, so then
no, there can be 23 left. There can be 48 missing.
I understood.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So then it can be that there will be less than 23 at the Sanhedrin at the Lishkas HaGazis.
All times.
Right, at all times.
How do we prove that there is how can we even entertain the thought that there should be a possibility of 71?
There's always 71 to begin with. The number of members of the National Sanhedrin is 71. Later on Daf Tes Zayin, the Gemara is going to explain. We already learned in the Mishnah. They're not all present at all times, but when they have a full session, then all 71 have to be present. But during their day, different people can leave for different purposes as long as they have at least 23.
Now that we're trying to prove that 71 should be there for the Sdagen Mamre.
That's what we're talking about. So how could it be that? How could it be that all 71 of them left it?
Well, they can go to the bathroom, you know.
Fine, that's the thing. One person individually has to go to the bathroom. Right. He leaves and then he comes back. But there have to always be 23 at all times. Lahavdil Elafalfi Abdullah said you shouldn't even begin to compare. But for example, the U.S. Congress, they have Lahavdil, a very similar rule. You have to have a certain minimum people. As long as Congress is in session, you have to have a certain number of representatives present. So, yeah. But yeah, anyway, yeah, they probably take it from this. Yeah, anyway, so how could it be that all 71 of them left and then the Zok and Mamre would meet up with them? El pshita l'dvar mitzvah. So it must be they left for a dvar mitzvah. Heichi domi, what kind of dvar mitzvah would they leave for? Lav l'medidas egla. The pashtus they would be leaving on their way to go measure to find the nearest city for an egla arufa. V'rab Elazman Yaakov hidom akula Sanhedrin in. So that would answer our question. Rab Elazman Yaakov says that all the members of the Sanhedrin have to go out for that, and therefore that would be a case where he meets them up as they're leaving Lishkas HaGazis, as they're in Beis Pagi in the suburbs of Yerushalayim, he meets up with them and argues with a psak din of theirs and gives and tells other people to follow it. And nevertheless, he's not a Zok and Mamre because they're not in Lishkas HaGazis. So you would see from that, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov says that all 71 of them have to go. The answer is Amalei Abaye. Abaye answers to Rabbi Yosef, no, not necessarily. For example, we can have the Sanhedrin could leave the Lishkas HaGazis to add to the size of Yerushalayim or to the size of the Azara. We'll learn in Masechta Shavuos, Be'ez Hashem, later on this year, there's a whole procession and a whole procedure that they have to do. They need a king and a Kohen Gadol and the Urim V'Tumim and so on and so forth, and they can do that. They can expand the size of the Azara, where now there's more of an area where they can eat Kodshe Kodshim, and they can expand the size of Yerushalayim, and now there's a larger area where they can eat Kodshim Kalim, and it requires the presence of the entire Sanhedrin. So that would be a reason why they leave. That's a Dvar Mitzvah. They can be leaving for that. So that doesn't prove that they're all going for measuring for the Egla Arufa. Maybe Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov would still hold that you only need three or five of them. And however, the Gemara says, Tanya Kedetan, as we learn in a Mishnah, as we learned in our Mishnah, Ein Mesifin Ala Irva Ala Azoras, Ela Bebeistin Shal Shivim Ve'echad. And the point is not just that the Beistin Shal Shivim Ve'echad are the ones who approve the enlargement, they have to actually be physically present at the procession where the city is made larger. So therefore, that would be a case where all 71 of them leave. Okay. However, the Gemara says Tanya Kavaseh de Rabbi Yosef. We learn a brisa like the way Rabbi Yosef learns it. Motzen abeis pagi v'himra alehen. If the would-be Zok and Mamre meets up with them in Beis Pagi and he argues with them, and what is the case where he finds them in Beis Pagi? Kigoyin sheyotzu l'medidas egla ula hosif al ha'ir al ha'azores. For example, they went out to measure to find the nearest city for an egla arufa, or where they went out, like Abaya says, to go and enlarge the city or the azara. You would think that his argument against them is considered a valid, is considered a makes him a zaken mamri, and he'd be chayv misa. No, tamad loy mevakamtavol lisal amokam alam sham amokam gerdim. We see that it depends on the place. They have to be in the place in the lishkas agazis for it to be for him to be considered a zaken mamri, and here they're not in the lishkas agazis. So we see like Rabbi Yosef that yes, they might be going out for medidas egla, and therefore that brisa, that last brisa, would have to be according to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, because according to Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, there's no reason why all 71 of them would have to be present. And therefore we see that, yes, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov is requiring that all 71 of them are there. And as we said before, and the king and the Kohen Gadol, and with all of that publicity, for sure somebody will come forward and give us some information about who killed this guy.
Doesn't sound like this ever happened.
Whether it ever happened, well, what did they ever paskin in practice like Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov? I don't know.
I'm talking about the Zaken Mamre,
no. Zaken Mamre, actually, so we're going to learn later in the Masechta, there were cases of Chachamim who came very close to being a Zaken Mamre. Was there an actual case where it ever happened? I don't know. The Gemara doesn't mention it, but together with Ben Sora Ramura and Iran Idachas and whatever, it was things that never happened. So it may have happened. Ben Sora Ramura, yeah, I have your opinion that it happened, have an opinion it didn't happen. We'll talk about it later in the Masechta, but yeah. All right. Next, the Mishnah had said, "Hagdeshus b'shloisha." Sorry, "Neter avayu ma'aseh sheni shen dam v'yidurin b'shloisha." We said, Zaken Mamre has to be that he argues against all 71. Yeah,
in the place.
Yeah. And in the lishkas agazis to add to the ear and the azores, you also need all 71 of them to be present. To measure for the Eglah rule, for that you have three different opinions. You have Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov says you need 70, all 71 of them, plus the king, plus the Kohen Gadol. According to Rabbi Yehuda, you need 5. According to Rabbi Shimon, you need 3. So neter avai ma'aseh sheni shein damim v'yidurin b'shloisha. So the Mishnah had said when you have neter avai that has to be redeemed and you have ma'aseh sheni, then shein damim v'yidurin, we don't know how much it's worth. And then you need b'shloisha. Then you need three people to shots up to evaluate how much it's worth in order for him to redeem it. Tosfos points out that the ein dam of yidurin is not referring to neter avai; it's only referring to ma'aser sheni. Neter avai, anyway, neter avai, a person is not necessarily so eager to eat it. Because anyway, he should be used to it. The last 3 years. He hasn't been eating it anyway because it was Orla. So he's not in such a hurry to eat it. So therefore, we don't dafka need. We're not worried. In other words, the point why we need three, as we're going to say, is so he doesn't say not put it for too little. With neter avai, we're not so worried about that. Ma'aser sheni, we are. So the Gemara says Tonan Abanan Ezu Ma'aser sheni shein dam v'yidurin. What do we mean Ma'aser sheni where the value is not known? What do you mean? You go find out how much this kind of fruit is selling for in the store. Paris Shehukivu, for example, the fruit is partially rotted, the yayin shehikrim, or the wine has gone sour, or mois shechlidu, or money, because after all you can exchange ma'aser sheni for money, and then the money is what do you call it? And then the money in turn is brought to Yerushalayim. So now the coins became rusty. So in all those cases, it's gonna be hard to figure out a fair price for it. So therefore we need three people to evaluate it. The Gemara continues, Tanan Abban, and Maisa Sheni Shein Dam V'yidurin, Poidin Oisei B'Shloisha Lekuchas. You could, to redeem Maisa Sheni, whose value is not known, you need three Lekuchas, three buyers to evaluate it. Avon Loi B'Shloisha Shein Lekuchas, but not three who are not buyers. So Rashi explains that buyers over here means soichrim, means merchants who know how to evaluate the value of things, even when it's something that's a little spoiled or whatever. Tosfos brings a different explanation that it can mean bidders, that it means people who are willing to bid, for it and will sell it to the one who offers the highest price. But Tosfos says Rashi's explanation seems to be preferable. So, afilu nochri echad mehen, even one of the three can be a goy, as long as he's a lakuach. But afilu echad mehen bailem, and even if one of them is the original owner, he also can be one of the three. So the Gemara says, boy Rabbi Yemi, a shloisho matilon sech kisechad maru. What if it's three people, but all of them, but they're partners? They all literally, matilon kisechad literally means they put their money into one money bag. So in other words, they're partners, and all of their money is split three ways. So would we consider that we can consider them like we can consider them to be the three, and they can evaluate it, or maybe not because they're all doing business together. So the Gemara says, Toshma, Ishu, Shtei Noshev, Poidin, Maisa, Sheni, Shein, Dam, V'yidurin. Even, for example, a man and his two wives can be Poidin, Maisa, Sheni, whose value is not known, for example, like we're saying, it was spoiled. So therefore, so we see that now usually a woman doesn't usually have money of her own. Usually whatever she owns is part of it, is part of Masha Konsi and Shakonsi Baila. So the Gemara says not necessarily. For example, you could have, let's say, like the way Rav Papa did with his wife or with the daughter of Abba Sura, they were partners. She had her own independent income. So therefore, so you could say in that case, then they could be two of the three to evaluate Maisa Sheni. That doesn't necessarily show when you have people who join together in a partnership or husband and wife, where the wife does not have an independent income, that we should be able to to count them, maybe not necessarily. So this is all according to Rashi. There are different other Rishonim have different explanations of what we mean over here. Again, Tosfos had said that it means that you have three people go and bid on it. But Tosfos says they don't really like that explanation so much, but that is another explanation. But in any case, the Yad Ramah and other Rishonim discuss other points on this, that that what we mean is that are we concerned if the three of them are partners together? Maybe they're making a knunia. Maybe they're trying to trick over here. They're gonna buy it cheaply, and then they're gonna gain a profit from it. Yeah, okay, but nevertheless, maybe. So therefore, that would be the question. That would be the question. Are we choshish for that or not? So the Gemara had said a man and his two wives. If one of them wants to buy it for himself, we're saying they would count as three. And the Gemara is saying that no, we're talking about that like Rav Papa's wife, who's b'chlal not a partner with her husband at all, and therefore we're not so worried about a knunya over there. But in another case, when they're partners, then maybe we do have to be concerned about a knunya. Okay. Fine.
Netzer Rabbi, what's it estimated about Netzer Rabbi?